And yet God's timetable, and I'll tell you, don't go against God. I'm just telling you, He'll outweigh you every time. Even if it takes an entire lifetime to where you're so frail and He's got you pinned in a bed and you can't hardly take a breath. You know how many people call on His name on their deathbeds? God's just like, you ready? I got you now. And people, my grandfather met Jesus Christ on his deathbed. The bottom line is, though, when the hero came into the planet, came as a baby, I want you to know anything in your life this year that's going to be different. You know how it's going to start off? Like this. Just baby steps. That's how it all starts. Did you know John chapter 3 and verse 3 says, and ye must be born again. So even if you want, you know, people want to change habits, or I want to do this more, I want to do that more. Well, listen, your spiritual journey starts when you meet Jesus Christ. You take the incorruptible seed of the Word of God and it enters inside of you. You become a spiritual baby. That's how it starts. And so, and this is a big problem, because we want things instantaneously. We want change now. And I remember, I'm that way. I'm very much that way. I remember I decided I was going to lose some weight one time. And I thought, you know, and they're like, so, you know, if you do this diet, man, you can, at this beginning, you'll take off a pound a week. And it'll slow down after, you know, a couple months. But then I'm like, my gosh, man, if you cut one of my legs off, I'd be 25 pounds less. I think I'll take that, you know, route. You know, like, but I found a diet, and it was a crazy diet. It was a no food eating diet, and you had to, you know, basically drink gasoline and sniff diesel fuel. And, but man, I remember, man, in 1 week, 7 days, man, I'm on the scale and I'm like, I'm 16 pounds down in 7 days. Beat that. Then I fainted, you know, like, you know, oh, that was ridiculous. Then when I went off of it the next day, I instantaneously gained 5 pounds back. Just because I was starting to pound liquids and things like that. But, you know, we all want things fast. So just want to encourage you this year. I think we all need change in some area of our life. But guys, just remember, when God decided to do it, it started with the baby. You know, there's a guy that walked into, him and his wife were on vacation, and he walked into this little coffee shop, and there's a guy sitting there, an older fellow, and he says, hey man, I don't know much about this town. He said, like any famous people, any leaders, like, come out of this town? Like, and this old man goes, nope, only babies. Every leader starts off that way. Every famous person started off that way. Now, the interesting thing is, if, you know, as you read God's word, like in Matthew chapter 2, it says, like in verse, by the way, Matthew chapter 2 is where the wise men come into the story. Something kind of messed up in the Christmas story, because you always see, you know, baby Jesus and all these animals, Mary, Joseph, and then you've got usually shepherds, and then you've got a group of wise men holding gifts. That story's just a few years off, because, and what we learned is, the wise men, they're always late. People that are wise and think they have the answers, they're always late. The shepherds got the announcement that night. They're there. But if you look at Matthew chapter 2 and verse 11, it says, and when they were coming to the house, ding, 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 it's not the stable. It's not, Jesus is not in a manger. They entered into a house and they saw the babe. No, it says the young child. Because this is what babies are supposed to do. They grow into young children. Growth is just supposed to happen. And so you read the wise men, it's always a young child, young child, young child, young child. 3 times it's mentioned there. And the point is found in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. 1 Peter 2, 2, if you want to flip there towards the end of your Bible. You throwing verses up, Jordan? Okay. Or if you're not very quick in your Bible yet, I get it. Just look back on the screen. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, it says, you know, wherefore, laying aside malice and all guile and hypocrisies, in verse 2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. So just like every baby should have a desire for milk, That way they can grow and eventually, you know, get weaned off of that for sure. The whole point is growth. By the time the wise men got there several years later, this baby is not a baby anymore. Why? Because he grew. And so, guys, and growth is slow and steady. You don't even know it sometimes. You don't even know it until somebody, a relative, shows up at your house or somebody you haven't seen for a year, and they look over at your child and they're like, oh my gosh, she's gotten so big. Really? Well, you're seeing it every day, all day long. You don't always spot it. But yes, growth has taken place. I want to encourage you heading into the new year that, yeah, Jesus was a baby, but Jesus himself then became a young child. Do you know the next time you find him in Scripture? Go over to Matthew, Mark, Luke. Go to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. And in verse 42, there's a great story. It says, and when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. So this is Jesus's growth. Until Jesus starts his public ministry, you find a snapshot of a baby, a snapshot of a little child, and then one story unfolds where Jesus is a preteen. He's 12. And then it jumps right into his public ministry. There's not a lot of details written. And I think the Lord's trying to show us something too. I think he's trying to teach you and me something that, you know, sometimes people want to instantly be this or be that. And you hit your 20s and, you know, you ever see that bumper sticker, or I've even seen on a button before, it was just like, hey, young man, what you need to do is quickly gather all your stuff and move out of your house and just start making all these big plans and doing that. You better do it while you know everything. Because, you know, they think they know. And everybody that's older sits back and see. You don't want to discourage people, especially people that have dreams and plans, and you don't want to just step on them. You want to, you know, help them, encourage them in this process of growth. But we look back and we're just like, my gosh. People newly get married. You know how it is. You meet with college students and they're like, my gosh, I'm busy this week. I don't think I can meet. And you're like, busy with what? Like, you know, because, you know, you go to an average household and you got two people working jobs. You got a couple kids with activities, running them here, running them there. At nighttime, by the time you put Junior down to bed, you're ready to pass out yourself. Then you got a house to clean. You know, they're just what they don't understand is responsibility, you know, and that keeps piling up as you grow for sure. And so I like Luke chapter 2. It says in verse 42, when he was 12 years old, they went to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And it says in verse 43, and when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus, 12, called him a child. That's interesting. You know, and the Bible has this a little bit different than even our timetables with people. Like, I think of like young Timothy, you know, and some of these people in the Bible that you think, my gosh, like David, how old was David really when he went through that process? Well, the Bible shares, there was some youthfulness there, some youngness there for sure, but it says here, and the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. I always think, my gosh, if anybody's going to hell, you lose Jesus. You know, you're in deep trouble here, you know. You ever, like, read the story, Moses comes down, he's ticked, he's got the first physical copies of the Bible, and he smashes them on the ground. I'm just like, if anybody's in trouble, it's you, Moses. My life looks pretty good compared to that. How many commandments did he break? Every one of them at the time, you know. So it says in verse 44, but they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintances. When they found him not, in verse 45, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. It came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing, man. We were sick looking for you. He said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wished ye not that I must be about my father's business? And it says, and they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went out with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. So let me unfold this little piece of the story for you as you're looking into 2024. Guys, life is so busy and so chaotic. Like, you want things to be different. And then some of you look and before you know it, you're just like, I got to go back to work Tuesday. Like, I really wanted to get some things together and get my act together. And over the little break, I wanted to do this. And you're just like, it didn't happen. And I get it. I understand all of our calendars are so busy. But the hard part is that we want to grow and say yes to new things, but we're not willing to say no to other things, you know. And so I want to encourage you with this story because I want you to notice in verse 43, it says that Jesus tarried behind. So, as he's increasing in his growth, he's a 12-year-old right now. And so, but the Bible says he tarried behind. So let me just give you some practical points that could help you with the new you, the new things that you want. And the typical thing is just losing weight. But there's so many bigger things than weight. Who cares in weight? You know, so everybody asked me, what'd you get for Christmas? I got fat, just like you did. And I'm happy about it, you know, really. Fat people just seem to be happier, you know. So that's what I want to be. It says here he tarried behind. The bottom line is this. When the crowd left Jerusalem and all of the family, Jesus tarried behind. Now, sometimes it's going to feel like as you're increasing in your growth, you'll feel like you're behind because culture is going to make you feel that way. Culture always makes us feel that way. Like you can't keep up. That's how you know you're old, right? You know, when the next app, you can't figure it out. When the next big thing's on the planet. That's why young people, you know, they've moved on Facebook and you look at the average user, Facebook's still the number one social media app out there with this, the most users. But amongst people that are like 30 years old and under, they're like, at Facebook, I don't even open Facebook hardly. You know, well, I do. Some, my grandma's on Facebook, so you know. Oh, yeah. See, times have changed. Or when you start getting the next, hey, man, Dad, have you heard this song? And I always brought the new songs to the table. I'm always the one that was like onto it. Well, you know, it just shows me. You ain't increasing anymore, son. You know, you're getting older. Jesus is 12 years old. It says he tarried behind. I just want to encourage you that sometimes being the person that God wants you to be, it's going to appear to some people that you're behind. Jesus didn't follow the crowd, did he? The crowd moved on. He stayed behind. Guys, the majority is not always right. Young people, listen to this, man. The culture, they appear to be cool, but they're just not always correct. I would take correctness over coolness, right? You know what? I made a move here in my life. Just I actually did this last year. And Bo knows me. I'll change this week probably. But I got away from a digital planner. I quit planning digitally because I was losing things. I was the day-to-day was fine. It was the big picture stuff. I needed to look at the month. I needed to look at the year. And I went back to a paper planner. And I literally was in a restaurant in town and a guy in town that came up and he's another pastor. So we're like competing, you know. That's how it works. You say you're not competing, but you are. He walks up and he goes, what is that? I was like, it's my planner. He thought it might have been a Bible because it's a leather. It's pretty big. And he's like, a planner? He goes, is that a Franklin planner? I said, yes, it is. The best planner on the planet. He goes, I remember those in the 90s. Dude, I took my coat off and stood up. I said, what'd you say to me, boy? It don't matter what he says to me. I appeared to be slow and behind. I was actually increasing. He can say what he wants to. And he wasn't. Who cares what he thought? But the majority is not always right. Hey, you guys remember that verse in Matthew chapter 7 where it just says, you know, narrow is the path to life. Wide is the path to destruction. Well, I'm going to take that out of context a little bit and just talking about eternity. Let's just talk about being productive in life. Being productive in life, there's a wide path. But the narrow path leads to life. And the Bible says the narrow path that says there are few that find it. Few that find it. Everybody wants to be different and you want to make great changes in your life. There's going to be very few people that stick with it. We know that, right? We absolutely know that. But just remember, it's a narrow road. And so don't feel bad tearing behind, which means this. When the crowd's moving, you're going to have to slow down. If you're going to make real changes in your life this year, you're going to have to stop. They went back and found Jesus. He ain't running around like a crazy man. He was sitting. Well, they were moving. We got things to do. We got to get home. You know. So just remember that. That's just a little practical point. Notice verse 44 and 45. The first thing they did is they're like, we got to find Jesus. Oh my gosh, we lost Jesus. You know. And so, hey, by the way, if you could lose Jesus, like as Christians today, once you meet Jesus, if you can lose Jesus, you will. That's why we believe in eternal security today. We meet Jesus, He's in our heart, and the Bible says it's a seal. The Holy Spirit moves inside you. You can do bad things still. You can make bad choices, but you don't lose salvation. Just to let you know that. Because if you can lose your salvation, you will by the end of today. Right? And people fear that all the time, like doing little things. Well, how if Jesus comes back and you're angry? How if you just yelled at your kids and smacked your husband? And all of a sudden, then Jesus comes back. What happens? Well, if you know Jesus Christ, you're going to enter eternity, you know. Life's good, you know. Not that you always do good, but life's good if you know Christ. So anyways, I just want you to point out something here. They were seeking Him amongst family, but He wasn't with His family. And so I want to make a point here, because I know we live in a world that family is disintegrating apart. It's messed up. That's really the problem. Blame the school if you want to. Blame the Democratic Party. Blame the Republican Party. Do whatever you want to do. No, there's the real heart of the issue. God started this, Adam and Eve in a garden, a relationship with a husband and a wife. Then there was a kid added. It started with a family. That's at least the controllable part, right? There's a lot of people out there that are very successful in life, but you go and their family's a wreck. What do you want? Really, what do you want? The Bible says then you're not going to pastor successfully if your family is not healthy. Your church will never be healthy, right? And so they're seeking Him amongst family members. But I want you to know this. He wasn't with family members. And just remember that. Guys, we tend to be like our parents, right? There's things about your mom and dad, the good and the bad that we tend to have. But a lot of you would know this, especially if you struggle maybe with addictions. People will say this to me frequently. I hear this line all the time. People say, man, I need to break those chains. The chains of my family. I totally get it. I understand it. And essentially, I see Jesus here. You know, even when He called His disciples, these disciples are down there. There's one story in Matthew where there's three of them. They're like mending nets. They're fixing their nets. They're down there working with their father. Jesus comes by and says, hey, man, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. I'll give you real purpose in life, man, and then a real reason to live. And they're there. And the Bible says they left their nets and their dad. Who would do that? Leave your father? Well, there are good reasons to leave your father and mother. One is marriage, isn't it? Half your problem is going to be in your life is, you know, in-laws will be getting in your business all the time. And the Bible says, separate that relationship. Grow up, dude. Quit getting all your money. Quit getting all your vacations from mom and dad. They did that when you were three. Own your family. You know, that's really the point here. But it says here, chains must be broken. There's a time to leave father and mother. And I just want you to know that if you are going to be what God wants you to be, you might need to change your relationship with your family. I remember my mother-in-law told me when God was calling us to move here, she says, why do you got to move? So well, God's called me. I'm done with Bible school now and I'm going to go to Monmouth, Illinois and plant a little church. She says, can't you plant a church here in Akron, Ohio? I said, I could, but I feel like God's called me down here. All signs are pointing this way, you know. And she was pretty upset with me. And, you know, we had to say goodbye. You know how many tears we've shed through the years just saying goodbye to family? And today, you know, more than anything, the only thing that could be better, I'm glad Earl's in heaven, but Carrie would have said, I wish I could have been with my dad every day, especially this last couple years. She made a choice to follow the Lord, and you know, her dad was okay with that move. What's the alternative? I'll tell you the alternative. Stay close to your family. Don't grow spiritually in your life. You'll go through your first divorce, and then you'll have issues with the kids, but glad mom and dad's here to help. And then you'll, hey, believe me, we got a school right over here across the street. You know how many grandparents I see dropping kids off? It's not healthy. But, and then, well, I'm thankful mom and dad, grandma and grandpa's there to help do some of that stuff. But all of a sudden the responsibility's off these adults. And it's like super dysfunctional. Like, break the chains, man. Say goodbye. You know, good night. So just I want to make a practical point. As you progress in your growth and you're going to increase, you might need to break family chains. That's hard for a lot of people, man. This is going to really disappoint my mom. This is going to really disappoint my dad. Listen, if it's the right decision and you're seeking God's kingdom first, it's the right decision. It's right. It's right. I had a great mom. I had a great dad too, but my mom was mainly the caretaker of me, and she raised me, and I followed her faith. And she's the one that I remember nights coming home late, and I remember one time, one in the morning, beep, 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 the horn's beeping outside my house, and I throw up the window, and I was like, what's up, Todd? You know, and my buddy Todd's, I think, is, dude, I need to talk. You know, I get ready to jump out of bed and throw some clothes on, and my mom's like, what are you doing? It's like, Todd's here. Well, Todd was a friend of mine, just a friend, party, and he smoked dope and all that type of stuff. I just led him to Christ. I just became a Christian. I led him to Christ. Our lives were changing. You know what my mom said? I said, Mom, it's Todd. She was, oh, okay. School night, 1 a.m, I jumped down in his car, and I was like, what mother would do that? I think a godly one. That's what I think. Then everybody's like, what about school? Well, most helicopter moms would be like, hey, Mikey, get up for school. You got school. Get up. Get up. Get up for school. It's time to get up. My mom never did that. Once I got older, you know what she just said? She came in and I was like, I ain't going to school today. She's like, all right. See, my mom got pregnant when she was 14. Life taught her well. Life was rough on her, man. And she knew it would be rough on me. And it was. I remember the first time I got pulled into the principal's office and say, you miss one more day of school, you're going to repeat this school year. I was like, are you serious? I'm getting decent grades. Like, yeah, but there's an attendance record. So I learned what that was. And my mom just said, then you'll pay a price. Then repeat school. You think it, and she'd put, but most moms, you got to control the narrative because it's such a reflection of you. That's what most parents do. We parent really out of our own pride. Or you want your kids to do things. What you're really doing is living life through them. Stupid way to be a parent. It's exhausting. You know, and so, and my mom was just like, you know, parents would get embarrassed in the store and like, you know, oh, that's it. We got to leave, you know, because you're embarrassed and you got to take them out and then you leave your stuff behind. You're like, this is terrible. I can't get nothing on this kid. Really? You know, my mom, I remember once yelling in the grocery store. I wanted something and my brother, he's 3 years older than me. He fired me up and got me yelling. I'm like, you know, just being a kid. I remember my mom and all of a sudden my mom in the middle of the grocery store. Oh, you guys think you can get louder than me? You think you're going to embarrass your mom in the middle of the grocery store? And me and my brother are both like, Mom, stop. Stop. We never did that again. I was like, wow. I look back and I'm like, my gosh, I had a good mom. So and some of you be like, can't take these kids anywhere. I'm telling you, say what you want to. There's a parenting issue going on there. I'd like to help you out with that, but I'm going to get to that point here in just a second. And I remember, what about taking your kids away and disciplining your children and just say, hey, listen, we got more shopping to do. You've been throwing a fit and it's going to end now. And you be the parent you need to be. And I'll tell you, if you'd stick your finger in their ear hole so they can't get away and then drag them in there, I'm telling you, there'll be a whole group of people. The older generation will be like, we've been wondering whose crazy kid this was. So you're a good mom doing something about that. You're a good father ending that madness, you know. So anyway, seeking him among family, he ain't there. Notice where he's at in verse 46. He's in the temple. He's in a spiritual place, sitting with doctors, sitting with people that know more than him. Notice he's sitting down. Because most people today don't do this very well. You know, that's why I believe in parent. I believe the Bible says we don't, like, raise kids. The Bible uses in Proverbs the word train. We train children. We don't raise them. Things raise them. You ever throw a pumpkin in the backyard? All of a sudden you're like, next year you're like, what's this? What are these growing up? Oh, it's kind of raising itself, isn't it? You're going to have a pumpkin, you know. But it don't work that way with children. Well, it can, but they'll be in the Warren County Jail. Like, what happened that way? He raised himself. And he's not wise enough to do that, you know. And so, but parents train. They intentionally train their children, right? And so training, you know, we used to do with our kids sometimes, like, okay, here's the deal. Life is crazy. Okay, get a book, do whatever, but sit still. Everybody sit down, stop the chaos, sit down. Or if they were really hyperactive, causing trouble, sometimes you'd take your two-year-old whenever it says the terrible twos. It don't have to be terrible. And I would just say, you need to sit there. You can sit there for 10 minutes. There's a new generation. And you know what the new generation says? He can't sit. No, you don't understand. That's what they always tell me. I'm just like, okay, I don't understand. I mean, I know God's word. And a culture has just made a mess. And we've got generation after generation after generation who haven't had good examples, no fathers in the home. No, like, it's jacked up out there, gang. We all know that. And let me tell you, we're far removed from God's word. And we're far removed from people doing training. And I could have five parents leave the church tomorrow just so you don't understand. I have special needs. I do believe in my heart there are special needs. So please don't shoot me with a bullet. Seriously, I do know it's not all the same. I know kids are different. But still don't rule out training. Training still has to be done. And I don't know what it's going to look like in your home, but I can give you some examples. One, there's some biblical examples, but let me show you something here in a minute before you hate my guts. Because this is not a parenting message. It's turning into one, isn't it, though? Because I think a lot of us are adults and our lives should be different. And we're like kids. We continue down the same path. You know how it is. What do you want for breakfast? Well, I don't know about you, but I want cookies and ketchup, man. That's just what I liked. You know, and that's what I ate. I'm struggling today because of it, you know. So it says he's in the temple sitting with the doctor, sitting, a 12-year-old sitting, learning, wanting to learn. What? You know, James chapter 1 says we got to be swift to hear and slow to speak. Proverbs 1:5 says a wise man will hear and increase in knowledge. This 12-year-old was sitting and listening. And then it says he was asking questions. Now, this is a 12-year-old. So, you know what's crazy? There's a verse in Proverbs 13, and it says in verse 20, if you walk with wise men, you'll be, yeah. Walk with foolish, and you'll be foolish. That's why, you know, sometimes when your kid's an idiot, you look down, and it hurts your feelings because you're just like, and my wife will look at me and just say, acting just like you. Okay, I got to own that. You know, you are who you hang with. 12-year-old is sitting, listening, and asking questions. Wow, there's something powerful about this. I used to do parenting series. I'd do a parenting series, and we'd sit down. Sometimes we'd use videos. Sometimes it just wasn't like making it. We'd go to God's Word and talk these things. And you know, years ago, we'd all have questions. And we'd all ask and do that. Hey, guys, I'm struggling with this issue. What would you do in this case here? But, you know, and we'd talk it back and forth. And some people like have some real serious needs. And we're like, my gosh, we need to pray for them because this is not typical. That's rough, man, for sure. And so we'd do all that. And like, it was really good. And I remember as we did a parenting series one year, we had some young people in our church and young babies and kids. And as I was teaching, I was amazed at people, like years ago, people would say, hey, Pastor, I got a question for you. My kid's doing this, doing that, and we just didn't know. The Bible say anything about that. It's like, how would you handle that? You know, people don't ask those questions anymore. I had these beautiful families. I'm talking about the perfect catalog families, I call them. You know, they're in the JCPenney's catalog, smiling, you know, got their kid next to them, you know. Like, oh man, that looks perfect, man. Them kids, everything looks just so perfect. These catalog families. And then you'd watch them behind the scenes, you're like, that kid is out of control. What's the problem there? Well, it was a parenting problem. It wasn't really a child problem. And, for whatever reason. But nobody's asking. Hey, what should I do in this situation? Nobody's asking questions anymore. I do a parenting series and I'm amazed. And then the catalog families, I literally one time was teaching a lady in front of a couple of the couples. I was like, Oh, you cannot let your kid do that. That's on you, Mom. You cannot let that happen. She goes, yeah, but I don't know what to do. And I said, well, let me show you what the Bible says. I gave her some principles out of the Bible. And yes, it involves some corporal punishment. And some people say, well, I don't believe in that. The Bible does. You don't have to believe in it. But look at our culture. Anybody that teaches school in here, you walk into a classroom and 20 kids, and you just be like, yeah, we don't believe in spanking. You can't do that to your kid. Yeah, here's a whole room full of people that lack it. And the teacher's just like, oh, I tell you what, if they would just get me a paddle, man, I could straighten about half of this out. You know, and it's true. They could. But I'm not talking just discipline. I believe in firm love. But the bottom line is this. Jesus is sitting asking questions. We've lost several generations where they're sitting down and asking questions. How does this work? And guys, listen to me. Google is not God. You can get all the answers there. Here's the problem. You can get what you want to hear there. You don't get that always here. That's the difference. If I find information I don't like, you know, you ever look at something, you know, it's like, man, I'm feeling this way, feeling that way. I think I'm going to diagnose myself and get on the internet. And by the time it's over, you're just like, my gosh, I got brain cancer and I'm getting ready to lose my left kneecap. I'm serious. It's rotten. It says it right here. Well, that's funny. That's a whole other case than you, pal. You know, we do that all the time. Jesus is sitting asking questions. You want to head into the new year? I'll give you a good recommendation. You want a better marriage? Find another couple. It don't mean they're perfect. That knows God's word, that are doing it right. And sit down and just say, I got three questions this week I want to talk to you and ask you about. Next week they might have five questions. Or just be arrogant and figure it out on your own. Google, read books, you know, do your own thing if you want to. But I'm telling you, God provided a shortcut and it works. But it's going to require other people. Actually, Jesus called it discipleship. But anyways, I just want to point something out. If you're going to get better in whatever area of your life there is, so like, no, I've researched it. I know this. I know that. You can do this and do that and this. You know how it is. And guys, it's ridiculous. Like, it's ridiculous because we all know how to lose weight. Everybody in here knows how to lose weight. Now, and there could be 17 models and methods to getting it done. And you know where you're going to fail at, don't you? Or don't you? You're not just going to fail on the scale because the scale is going to tell you the truth. You're going to fail of having a person called accountability that you're accountable to, that's going to help give you the grades, and going to teach you, keep you on the rails. And some of you'd say, well, I'm disciplined. I don't really need that myself. Well, a lot of it is that you don't want to hit the scale because, you know, you don't want anybody to see what you really weigh. But that's a secret. There's a secret to it, I'm telling you. Whatever. I'm kind of getting off the Jesus story here a little bit. And now I'm going back to the 12-year-old Jesus. He's asking questions. I'm not going to ask, what should I do here? Nope, I'm not going to get any help. We'll figure it out ourselves. You're figuring it out ourselves, and that's why your kids are very damaged. They're damaged. Do you see that? I'm trying not to look at anybody because I'm not specifically. Hey, we're all born in sin. We're damaged goods, right? But God gives us some principles to operate by. And like to go to somebody and just say, hey, seek out help. Seek out help, man. Ask questions. Not just to anybody. Don't grab your friend, because your friend's equally as messed up as you. I'm talking about maybe a mentor. Somebody you can sit with. Jesus sat with the doctors and said, okay, you were saying this, but, and then he would ask questions. And then I like how it says they were astonished at his understanding and his answers. But God gives us a little snapshot into his life as he's growing and maturing before he even started public ministry. And God knew that no 12-year-old was going to stand up in the temple, command their attention, and tell them what to do, even though he was God in the flesh. So God's given us a snapshot of some growth here. And notice, they were astonished at his answers. And by the way, here's another thing. Let me just give you some help. You want to be new in whatever area this year? Your money. That needs to change. Weight, that needs to change. You know, my mindset. Man, I'm not reading like I used to. My house looks like garbage. My house is filthy. Our family eats like garbage. We're scrambling every night. Whatever it is, there's 100 issues we could bring up right now. 100. And you know what you do? Jesus was astonished. They were astonished at his answers, but Jesus is sitting back, sitting, asking doctors the right questions. And so for you and me, do you realize it was actually a guy named Malcolm Gladwell's, that book Outliers, he wrote years ago. He said, if you spend 10,000 hours at anything, you're technically an expert. And I'm not talking about it. I'm an expert at being stupid. I'm an expert at doing whatever I want. No, 10,000 hours, you'll be an expert at anything. Hey, start asking the right question. Read the books. Get a hold of the right people. Get after it. Hey, guys, did you know I've been teaching Bible studies when I was in high school, but then I went to Bible school. Got out of Bible school and I moved here. I added up the other day, every week, all the studying done, all the messages I've preached. Had to take a good guess because I lost track. And by the way, by the time you speak, usually for 1 hour of public speaking, it takes me about 8 hours of preparation on a hard passage, which today I'm not in a passage. I'm all over the place. But that made me 12 or 15 hours. But sometimes I can do it in five because I've already done some of the homework. But the bottom line is this. When you add up all the hours, you know what that would make me? Based upon what Malcolm says. Guys, here's the deal. If you're having trouble in your home or in your marriage, get after it, man. Ask the right questions. Read the right material. Get in church. Ask some people to say, I need some help. Can we do a class on that? Yeah. Why do I have to start a class? Well, why don't you say, hey, can we do something here about this? Yes. I mean, we're having trouble with our finances, home, and it'd be nice to have a budgeting class done. We can get that done. And I might be in the front row with the notepad. I might not be the teacher on that subject. But may it come from you. We're the church. I don't make all this up, right? And so all of a sudden, by the time this is over, it shouldn't take you 2 or 3 years. And why aren't you an expert in the subject? You should be an expert in the subject, especially as Christians. You should dig in this book and be an expert at it, man. You should be an expert at what God says on this subject. Do it. You don't even need formal education. Especially with the internet out there. There are so many good things out there. You can watch tutorials and see things. I'm a halfway mechanic now on certain simple things. Things I'd have never done before. I watch, do a little research, read, and don't do this. Hey, do it this way. I watch, I put it all together, and I go at it. And all of a sudden people are like, my gosh, you're good, ain't you? Well, I'm learning. I'm not claiming to be an expert. I don't know if I want to be an expert in that subject, but anyways, there are people out there that are. Be an expert at your subject. That's what you should be. Look at verse 48. We sought thee sorrowing. Jesus, man, we were all upset. We sought thee sorrowing. Listen, but he was sitting in the right place asking the right questions for growth. But mom and dad were disappointed, man. You know, that's a typical mother thing, dude. Do you know how you made your mother feel? You know, when you do that, oh, baby. It's emotional manipulation to try to get your kids to, you know, man, feel bad about it, so you want to straighten it. You don't really want that to be the motivation because, mom, you ain't going to always be around. Your kid's going to make a bad decision, right? And so here it says that we sought thee sorrowing. And so I'll ask you a question. You want to grow this year? You want to be something different? Then who are you going to disappoint? Because you'll disappoint somebody if you're going in the right direction. And maybe even your parents. But sometimes we don't want to do that. But you're going to have to. I like in Galatians where he says, you think should we please God or please men? What should we do here? Yeah, we're going to please God on this thing. And we're going to go after it. And guys, it's okay. Somebody's going to be sorrowing because of what you do. Somebody's going to be unhappy. And it's okay. And it could be simple things. Did you know you might have developed a bad habit in your life, but you got a group of friends that does this certain subject every so often. Or just say you go to restaurants and you find yourself getting fat, you know, and you're like, my gosh. But they go and they do it at work. They go, I eat twice a week, and I go, and that's when I break my diet all the time. Well, disappoint every one of them this year. It's that simple. Hey, guys, I am sorry. Fat boy wants to eat everybody's French fries. When they're done, I'm picking all their plates and eating all their fries. So you know what I'm going to do? Well, just be disciplined, you knucklehead. I can't be disciplined, but I'm not going anymore. You're going to feel like you're not part of the friend group. That's okay. Them's the right people to disappoint for you to be whatever God's asking you to become. Does that make some sense? I think the Bible's fantastic, is what I think. We stop these sorrowing. You know, I like what verse 49 says. He just says, did you guys not know I was about my Father's business? I love that, man. I love that. Now this can apply, you know, the Bible principles can apply in life to success and discipline. But we're talking about really something spiritual. To be about my Father's business. When people say, hey, why this or why that? That should be the proper answer. It's never the proper answer. I'm just telling you, when I ask people, life ain't going so good for me, I'll just say, hey, what's up? I noticed this, I noticed that. And none of them are just say, oh, dude, man, I'm sorry, but I was about the Father's business, man. Here's a, no, it's usually some made up, jacked up answer, and we decided we were going to do this and do that. It had nothing to do with the Father's business. The Bible says if you seek God's kingdom first, He'll add all the things you need unto you. So I want to really put the emphasis on that today is seek God's kingdom first. If you want to be different, put that as the priority. Bodily exercise profits little, Paul tells Timothy, but godliness will profit all things. The problem we have is really godliness. Even if it's about our parenting, be about the Father's business. There's a manual for you and me in this life. Be about seeking the manual in everything. Instead of sitting around and wearing your bracelet going, and what would Jesus do? Find out. You're going to have to study up on that. You're going to have to read that and find out what's... And then look at verse 52 here in Luke. It just says, he increased in wisdom, stature, and in favor with God and man. Ain't that crazy? He increased. So is Jesus. Baby, child, and then a 12-year-old, and he's increasing, and we need to increase also. So guys, this year should be a year of growth for all of us. Increasing your wisdom. And of course, physically, you know, the stature is going to change too. In favor with God and man. What we have is a group of people in a couple generations. I don't have to answer to anybody. Boy, you better find the right people. The right people to please. The right, not everybody, not the crowd, but I find godly people. And I got guys in this room, and I'll pull them right in my office and say, guys, here's what I'm thinking. Am I thinking right? I'm not sure, like, what, are you a little kid? Are you like a little kid you need to ask everybody, like you need a babysitter? No, I just want to make the right move, man. I just want to be godly. And I respect these guys in this decision. I pulled a group. I was buying a van one time. This was years ago. I pulled in. One guy's really good with money. Not even necessarily the most godly guy. The other guys are God. I said, here's the deal, guys. I need a van. I don't know what to spend. I laid it out on a board. Most people just do whatever they want to do. We can make the right decision, can't we? Maybe. Maybe, and maybe not. I just double check, man. That's what I do. Hey, let me finish this message because there's a lot. This message could go on for months because there's so many things to be different and to be new. But I just want to encourage you with, like, guys, it's slow. You're going to grow from baby, young child. But this 12-year-old boy, there's some principles he's showing us here that, remember, you're going to have to leave something behind, right? You might even feel like you're behind. And I just feel like so slow. Who cares? It's funny. I listen to leadership podcasts and not always Christian guys. I follow a lot of, you know, wealthy businessmen that own multiple. I like to hear what they say and they spit out wisdom. It's crazy to me what most of them say. The simplest things. Things just like, you know, they'll just say, oh, do you have a presence on Facebook or Instagram? And he's like, are you kidding me? No. And maybe don't, if it had something to do with business, I bet that guy could make $100,000 this week on that. He might. But most, it's funny to me, most of these guys that are successful, like, no. They don't do the things that normal people do. Jesus is showing us this here, right? They're seeking him among family. You might need to break family chains, right? He's sitting down. Teach yourself to sit and be disciplined. What's the subject? Figure it out, man. Get on the internet if you want to, but I would come here and just say, hey, I need some help in this department of my life. Is there some reading I can do? You can go to that YouVersion Bible app and type in money, and you know what it'll do? It'll give you 180 passages that you can read. But most people will come and just say, hey, what did I do? You know, man, we messed up over here. Yeah, dude, you're not asking questions. You're making your own moves all the time. So Get after it. The Father's business. Watch what happens next. In Luke chapter 3, you know what happens? He was baptized. Jesus went public. He's now old enough. He has grown because he's increased. And now he goes public with it. They ask now, you know, young people used to be, hey, what do you want to be when you grow up? What was your answer? Hey, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I had an uncle that always had nice cars. Like he had a Trans Am and a brand new 4x4 truck. And he was a construction worker. He finished concrete. Did you know what I did for like a chunk of my life? What I was doing is wanting to be like him. I just wanted what he had, is what it really amounted to. But what do you want to be when you grow up? Some people want to be a baseball, a basketball. You can be a football star. Some people, like, it used to be littler ones. Like, it was not uncommon to have two or three kids in a class saying, I want to be an astronaut. I want to be president. There was always a couple kids in the class would say that. And I was just like, my gosh, well, it starts with smoking cigarettes. That's how that starts, you know. I was that kid. But you know, today they ask them, it's funny what people say today. There's a ton of young people that just, the number one answer now amongst preteens into the teens is they want to be an influencer on social media. I just want to influence people. And there's young people out there that are making millions of dollars while we're sitting in here. I'm not lying. It's happened to a few. You can't deny it. But it's sad. No growth. What you want to do is trip, and you want to fall into millions. I want to trip and back up into a career. There's documentaries on this that's really crazy to watch. Fake famous, man. That's what you become. I remember the first time we started digging in. It's like, man, not very many people are following the church. What do we do? This and that and that. There's an easy solution. Let's just spend $1,000 of our dollars and we can buy followers. That's what most of them do. And you can buy followers. All of a sudden, our church can have 10,000 followers tomorrow. They might not all be real people. There could be a lot of bots doing that. But if that's the metric of if you've made it, how many followers you have, spend the money, buy the followers. Done. Right? Because anything else is just going to be hard work. It's just sad. It's sad where we've come and what we've created. And people are like, no, you're a baby. And this year you're just going to grow a little bit. And you're going to mature and increase. But you're going to have to sit down with the right people and ask the right questions. It's hard work. And then one day you're going to go public with it and say, here it goes. And he got baptized, it says in Luke 3:21. Did you know, by the way, look at Luke. We're already here. Look at Luke chapter 3. Verse 21 says, now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass Jesus also being baptized. Jesus humbled himself, submitted himself. The next thing you know, it says in verse 22, the Holy Ghost descended in bodily shape like a dove upon him, and voice came from heaven which said, thou art my beloved Son, and in thee I am well pleased. So what we get, what we see, Jesus is getting ready to burst out onto the scene in ministry. He's going public, and you know what he got? He got what everybody's looking for. His father publicly, out loud, goes, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. What was awesome about this story is Jesus hadn't even done one miracle yet. Like, that's my boy. Like, he's famous. He wasn't famous yet. There was none of that. He got his father's approval. Everybody is seeking that. It's the craziest thing ever. It's so true. Everybody wants it, your father's approval. And I like this because a lot of people don't have dads. So where are they going to find this at? Hey, guys, there's a heavenly father. The Bible says when parents forsake you, he'll lift you up. You got to have that. If you don't have that security inside, you're always going to be living your life to answer primal questions that are so simple. And that's why we all default to kid logic. Because we were broken as kids when it came out, and so we default to that as adults. You fall into that type of thinking. And some of you just think like, nobody wants me. I'm not even wanted. No, that's the little kid in you speaking. That's not true. You know what the Bible says? You better find that out. You better find that. You better get over that. All these little primal issues that people have. You got to get your father's approval. You got to get it, man. And somebody said, well, my dad's not even around anymore. Yeah. Well, guess what? That's what discipleship's all about. I remember it broke my heart the first time when I had a grown man tell me that, like, I had what it takes. I cried. Like, what? Why am I crying? What's wrong? Well, the kid logic was me. My dad was just a quiet man. He never hardly said anything to me. I was looking for it, and I needed it from another man, right? So I just want you to get your father's approval. That's another thing. And don't think physically. Think of spiritually. That's why you get saved. The Holy Spirit moves inside. We get a church. We got the Bible. We got the goods. So now everything's in place to make you healthy. And then I'm going to end with this point right here. And I promise, I probably should have turned this into a 17-week series. But it says here in Luke chapter 4, after he got his father's approval, baptism, look what it says in Luke 4, 1. Jesus, full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. So growth, this increasing in growth. So all of a sudden, Jesus comes out the gate and you're like, I'm ready now. I'm going to do everything God wants me to do. And God's like, yep, and I'm going to lead you. And the Spirit led him to the wilderness. Tough times. Don't rule out the tough times. It will bring the increase. Church, man, I just want to encourage you. Growth this year is not going to be easy. In whatever area, it's going to be hard. You're going to fight all these things. You're going to fight it. It's just clear. It's life, right? But I'm here to tell you, if you're going to do the right thing, you are going to face some serious adversity. You're going to face it. The Spirit of God led him to the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Just mark it down. That's my biggest fear. When I became a pastor, I was like, oh, this is great. We're going to grow a church. Everybody's going to love me. Oh, my gosh, was I wrong on that thing. We hit nothing but difficulty after difficulty after difficulty. And we just kept going back to God's Word, saying, what's your Word say? God, I need your approval on this thing. And then look how this thing ends. Luke 4, 14. What's it say? When he got out of the wilderness, it says, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. Now he had a very powerful life, but he endured a lot of difficulty in that wilderness. So that's the ultimate goal. Don't you want to live in the power of God's Spirit every day? 2:24. We all want to live in the power of God's Spirit. And guys, listen, you know, to be chubby and walking with Jesus is so much better than like looking skinny and sexy and having the inside of you broken. I'm just telling you. Right? Because I'll tell you right now, if your ultimate goal is just to lose weight and get skinny, I know a guy. And his meth is not very expensive. And you'll be skinny in no time. Well, I don't really want... Oh, you don't want an addiction? Because that's what that stuff leads to. False goals and cheap ideas. It all leads to like... And you'll end up in that place and go, how did I get here? I don't want to be here. This is not what I wanted. Man, business is successful. My kids hate my guts. I'm divorced. My vehicle's nice, man. I got a nice pad, too. I take nice vacations. And you're miserable. That's not the stuff you want. God has so much more for you. Seek God's kingdom in 2024. Grow spiritually. Hey, I'm all about losing weight, getting healthier, getting stronger. I need to read more books. I need to cook more at home. We don't cook more at home. You know, we did cookie decorating party with our youth group. There were some girls that showed up, and you know what? A lot of girls had never experienced that before. Wow. That's weird, isn't it? Nope. It's just been lost. Life's so busy and people are moving on. And I'll tell you right now, why would you bake Christmas cookies? Walmart, when you walk right in the door, they sell whatever holiday it is. They make them flour cookies. I think it's just flour and water because they don't taste good to me. And then they put that icing on top. That makes it a little bit better. And like New Year, you know, you can get red, white, and blue. What do you want? You know, they can, bam, it's right there. And you can get them cheaper than you can probably make them for. Well, the problem is, you know what you're missing out on? You're missing out on the relationships. You're missing out on the know-how. All that stuff falling by the wayside. And that's the good stuff. It's the good stuff. So, hey, I want to encourage you. You know what this message is about? Just looking at Jesus' life. Guys, it's going to start off small. Grow this year. You can grow. By the time 2025 hits, you'd be like, I remember sitting that message on the last day of the year in 2023. And I thought, things have got to change. Do you really want to continue in the pattern you are? Where's it going to end up? Do you really look over at your dad? Do you really want to be him? Now, some people might say, yes, I do. That's awesome. Not very many people have that. Not many people look at their family and go, I want exactly that. But to change, sometimes you got to go against that. I got a question for you. You got a question for me. Anybody got a question on that? I know this is more, it felt like a self-help message a little bit, but a little bit of kind of was going that way. I believe in the power of this book, man. It's changed my life. I've changed in so many ways. There's so many things you can learn and be and grow this year, but you're going to have to seek God's kingdom first, man. You're going to have to make some priorities first. Quit following the crowd. Break family chains. Do whatever it's going to take. And remember, the key is, it's godliness, isn't it? That's the key to all this change, being godly. I want to be a godly husband. Well, what are you going to do about it? Well, I'm going to start getting around people that are godly. I'm going to start studying that subject. I'm going to ask people about it. Hey, I got a question for you. When you do this, instead of going to Google, let's go to the Lord. Everybody, let's stand on our feet and pray. We'll get out of here. Hey, a good Sunday. I love the praise, man. I love singing today. I told the band before church even started, man. I can't wait to do this together. I love to do that. I'm going to praise Him anywhere, right? Through everything. That's what I'm going to do. Hey, some of you, just anticipate difficulty. It don't mean you're failing. It might mean you're doing something right.